anything worth having needs to be grown on in the field of patience. And so it's a beautiful question to ask ourselves, like, where am I expecting it to be too fast? And where can I instead, like your beautiful analogy, Sarah, where can I just sit in beautiful anticipation, knowing that thing good's coming, but how am I waiting while I'm waiting for that? And what's my attitude and what's my reaction or response when it doesn't work out in the timing that I hoped? What am I like then? And these are all these beautiful invitations, you know. What are you like when you ordered something on Amazon and it said it was going to arrive tomorrow and it doesn't? You know, how do you behave when that happens? Because that's an entry point into your life. Just starting to see through all of this stuff and what parts of my life am I expecting to move at the speed of Amazon that are never going to move at the speed of Amazon? Like, where do I need to give myself more spaciousness, more graciousness, so that my life can actually unfold instead of expecting to hack my way towards everything?
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Purple Stars podcast. My name is Sarah. I'm your host, and I am so thrilled about today's guest. She's the amazing woman behind The Journey Home and one of the best worldwide Teen Keys guides. And above all, she is a really kind, innovative, creative, sweet soul that's funny, and you just want to be her friend. And I'm very lucky that I can call her my friend. And I just love her to bits, and I'm so excited to have her on the show and to share all her insights. Please welcome Haley Curtis.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Sarah. This feels so special to get to be here with one of my best friends in the world. Aww. Just having a chat.
I'm so excited. You know what, Haley? I was just thinking before we dive into the questions, and we've shared this on your podcast, but you want to share the story, because it's always so funny how the two of us met.
Yes, it's like the best romance story ever. And so random. Like, I still pinch myself sometimes of like, how did this even happen? How are we such incredibly close friends? Because we are sisters, mm-hmm. right? Like, we are family. We are not just friends. And it all happened. I mean, how long ago now? I don't even know. I've lost track.
2 years.
Over 2 years ago, I just had this random lady slide into my DMs with voice notes. And I was like, oh, like, what's this? And I have a listen. And there's Sarah on the other end saying, I never do this. And you might think that this is creepy, but I promise you I'm not creepy. But I found you on Instagram and something in me is telling me that we are meant to be friends. And she goes, look, if you think this is weird, I don't expect you to reply, but I'm just putting it out there. And I even went to my husband, Bevan, and I was like, Bevan, some random chick has just voice memoed me on Instagram saying she wants to be my friend. Like, should I just block her or what do I do? But then the same thing, something in my heart said, no, you know what? I'm going to voice note back. And so I did. And then the next thing Sarah does is ask me if I want to Zoom with her. And I'm like, sure. Why not? Zoom. Like, I just showed up to like a blind date. Turns out that we're absolute soul sisters. And since that day 2 years ago, we have been there for each other and supported each other through. We've both had such intense seasons of our life in those 2 years.
Absolutely.
We've just stood by each other and held each other and continued Zooming each other ever since. Like, and now we're in love.
Oh, it's such a, it actually, when you share this on my podcast, it makes me blush because I'm like, oh, wow. Yeah. It sounds crazy, but it's such a beautiful story because it just shows when we follow those heart tugs, like how we can get rewarded. And even if it feels crazy, and sometimes we have to do something that feels crazy to get what we haven't had before.
Yeah, absolutely. And even that whole thing inspired me in creating new friendships because I was living in a new country. I didn't have many friends and to see how you put yourself out there, I saw, wow, like I can actually create the most incredible friendships if I just listen to my heart and put myself out there. And so I just love it.
changed my life completely.
Same. Thanks so much for sharing this. Haley, for everyone who doesn't know you yet, could you share a little bit about your journey, maybe even like where you are right now, physically, emotionally, mentally, business-wise, just for, because I know a lot of our audience does know you, but for the ones that doesn't know you, don't know you yet.
Yeah, gosh, I swear my answer to this question is different every time because the journey is so multi-layered and so multifaceted. Gosh, well, I'll start with who I am right now and then share with you like sort of how I became this woman. So right now I'm 34 years old. It was my birthday yesterday. It's actually so special. I need to let the listeners know, Sarah. This is, we've chosen the best time for our podcast recording because where Sarah is in the US, it is still my birthday. And where I am in Australia, it is Sarah's birthday. So it's both our birthdays right now.
I love it so much.
So I'm 34 years old. I am an Aussie gal. I was born and raised in Perth, Australia. I've just spent the last 3 years living in New Zealand. And I am a woman who is just on fire for guiding other women back home to themselves. I am this person who just has such deep passion burning inside of me. And I just love to create. I love to create safe spaces. I love to create resources. I love to create things that are funny and entertaining. I just love to create and connect. And it is really quite incredible the life that I get to live now because it definitely was not always that way. I've been on a very long, intense journey to get here as the woman that I am today, who I identify as someone who deeply knows, loves, and understands herself. And I love my life so much. Like, it's ridiculous. But that has come from walking through the depths of the shadows within me and the depths of pain and suffering. And, you know, that all began for me in my early 20s when I started getting unwell. And just ever so slowly, I was noticing that I had a bit of pain in my body. And I was like, oh, I can keep pushing through. You know, like when you're a little bit unwell, you're like, you just keep going. And I kept pushing through for years and it kept getting worse little bit by little bit until when I was 25 years old, I couldn't push through anymore. I couldn't physically get up out of bed anymore and my whole system was shutting down. And like the symptoms that my body was showing were just insane, like just swollen everywhere and pain everywhere. And you wouldn't even recognize me if you saw me. And I couldn't keep lying to myself that I could keep going the way I was going. And that was a very intense season of my life where I had to leave my job. I couldn't get out of bed. And with that season came a complete realization that I had no idea who I was. Mm-hmm. Like a complete loss of identity. I had built my self-worth and my identity on everything external, career, relationships, achievements, what I could do. And when I found myself in this place where I couldn't do any of those things, I was like, oh my God, I actually don't know who I am. And I knew that if I was to get through this, because it was such an intense time of pain and suffering, I knew if I'm going to make it, I need to know who I am. If I'm going to make it, I need to find some solid ground within myself that I can stand on, because right now I'm drowning. You know, I was just riddled with anxiety, couldn't face it, couldn't face the day. And that was, I had my rock bottom moment and the tug that I got was, Haley, you need to start writing. You need to put pen to paper and journal. You got to write your way home to yourself. And I'd never done any kind of inner work before. I'd never journaled before, and I followed that tug and I used the last little bit of fire that I had left in me to just show up and write two sentences a day. And what started as two sentences a day turned into this magnificent journey home to myself through just, I just wrote my way home. And for years I did that. And over those years, I remembered more and more and more of who I am. And through that journey, I have become this woman that I am today. And then through that journey, I ended up finding the Gene Keys, which I know we're going to talk about today, which is my absolute favorite thing in the world. And now I get to stand alongside other women as they navigate that journey back home to themselves as well. Because what I found out along the way was this wasn't a journey specific to just me. And the things that I was discovering about my low self-worth and low self-love and all of the feelings of failure and all of these things I was dealing with were not unique to me. And so many other women were going through the same things in different ways, but the same things. And I thought, oh, this isn't a journey that I'm meant to take alone. And so now I've devoted my life to creating a space where we get to do it together. And so that's a bit about me.
Oh, I love how you so humbly share all of that because I get to know everything behind the scene and it's just so amazing. On the one hand, how you work for your own wounds and fears and how you face them, and at the same time how you hold so much space for these women around the world within your membership, The Journey Home, where people come together from, you know, wherever they are. Like, I remember when one woman from Europe, like, she was so shy in the beginning that at the monthly meeting she wouldn't even turn on her camera, while as someone else was already diving deep in their spiritual journey and journaling and tapping and meditating and everything. And it's so beautiful how you bring people and women especially from everywhere together to find home within themselves, because I think that's one of the most important parts of our journey here, is to build and find the home within ourselves. And it brings this peace and happiness that all of us are looking for. So it's just, yeah, I really, really admire this so much, because I also see what you said earlier with the suffering, you were not supposed to suffer alone and hold that pain. I recently read in the Bible, and I can just say it in my own words, God puts us for suffering, often with the intention to help others who are going through the same suffering later on. I find it so beautiful when we come to the point that we can say, I turned my pain into gifts, which I can share with others.
Absolutely. And, you know, I used to lean on that so much in my deepest times of suffering. And there's so many pages in my journal that are tear stained where I'm writing like, God, please let this not be for nothing. Because if this is for nothing, I can't do it. Like, I'm going to get emotional already. We're only like 5 minutes in. But I knew it wasn't going to be for nothing. And this journey home to ourselves, it allows us to take our pain and turn it into purpose, because there is such purpose in our pain. And that can be really difficult to see at the time. But as you journey deeper and deeper in, and you come to truly know and trust yourself, and you come to trust life, like how you say, life is my friend. You know, life isn't here to test you. Life trusts you. And as we come to melt into that, man, we find so much purpose in our pain. And it isn't all for nothing. It absolutely isn't. Yeah.
Haley, for people that are right now going through pain, whether it's, you know, through grief or relationship breakup, or they're just feeling lost in their journey, or it's physical pain, what is an advice you have for them to start holding space for what the pain, or the question actually, what purpose does this pain hold?
Yeah, I guess to find, only that person will be able to find that purpose for themselves. But the key piece of advice I would give is that the ultimate pain when you're going through a time of suffering is your resistance to the suffering.
Ooh, so good.
When we're like, this isn't right, you know, I shouldn't be feeling this way. This shouldn't be happening. They shouldn't have passed away, you know, like if it's grief, and when we're in resistance to the suffering, it becomes turbulent. And that's where all of the anxiety is and the tension that then we hold in our bodies. And this is where the somatic healing comes into it. Like, it's actually when we're in resistance to our own lives. And so the simplest thing to do in times like that is not forcing yourself into letting go of anything, but to just ask yourself, what might it look like if I was to not be in resistance to my own life right now?
Mm-hmm.
Or what might it look like if I were to trust a little bit more in my life right now? And if I was to trust in this situation right now? And that's this guiding question that can ever so slowly soften and open the heart. And as you do that, and as you continue showing up to ask that question, continue looking for where the resistance is and breathing deeply into that, you will find that purpose. Mm-hmm. And I know only you can find that for yourself, but it will come when the resistance just slowly starts to melt away.
I so agree that resisting feeling our struggle makes it even harder. And the resistance part can look for everyone differently, you know. For some people, it might be overeating. For others, it will be like overwork, like working long hours. For others, it might be stretching themselves thin, just being there for everyone else and keeping, you know, being distracted and busy. Everyone has their, or others might like get so tired and just want to like crawl into bed and not get out on the entire weekend. So everyone has their way of resisting what is.
Yeah.
And when we come back to home, I actually see resistance as running away from our home.
Yeah.
It's like we're running. And the second we start to allow ourselves to feel what is, even if it's heartbreaking and exhausting and just we feel like we're never, ever going to make it through, that's the time when we turn around and walk step by step back to our home. And that's like the picture that I have. And I just know, like, I experienced this so intensely when my Lola, my grandmother, passed away. Mm. I was running the first 2 or 3 months so much, despite knowing all of that. But I was like eating. It was insane. I just, you know, like even at night, I would like go to the next petrol station and get chocolate because I already inhaled it on the way out. And there came a point I was like, okay, this is really affecting me physically. Like all this sugar is making me sick. I have to start looking within. And that was the moment everything started to get lighter. I'm not saying easier, but lighter. Mm-hmm. Lighter around my heart, lighter physically. And so I really love that you brought up the resistance. And one thing I want to tap into before we get into the gene keys. I know your journey with journaling has changed, because even your membership, it was very focused on journaling and then transition and got all this amazing, you know, like extra areas. But I wonder, what's your relationship with journaling right now? And what is something you would like to share with people about journaling?
I love that. I mean, journaling is forever going to hold such a special place in my heart and in my life, because it absolutely changed my life. And I am someone who thrives in that state of journaling. I'm a line one in my radiance and purpose in my gene keys, which we'll get into. But that's like a line of solitude where you really love to just be with yourself and really dig deep and, you know, love to write and these sorts of things. That's so me. And so I still journal, not every single day. I used to journal every single day when I was going through the thick of it. I would say I journal at least 4 times a week, sometimes sometimes every day. Big journal entries and going super deep. I love it. But the thing about my journaling now, I used to journal because I wanted to find myself. you know. And so I was journeying, I was journaling to come home, whereas now I journal to remember who I am, because I've found who I am and I know who I am. However, as humans, we forget. Mm-hmm. You know, it's such a human thing, forgetting. And it's the same for all of us. You know, how many of us have like set an intention and we're like, yeah, cool, doing it. And then next day and you're like, oh my gosh, I completely forgot that I was even going to do that. And so, yeah, this journaling for me is this place I come to most days to remember who I am, to remember the things that I'm digging into and to unlock more wisdom. It's a place where as I write, I feel like it's not, sometimes it's not my mind that's writing, it's my heart. It's this channeling of my deeper wisdom. Mm-hmm. It's this place where I get out of my own way and so often the things that come through on that, oh my God, that's profound. And so, yeah, like what I would say for people with journaling is it can be the place where you come home. But if you're someone who's already like really deeply grounded in who they are, allow it to be the place that you remember who you are.
I so deeply resonate with what you're saying, because I was journaling like crazy in my 20s. I have so many journals, like, and I was just journaling and writing. And as you said, it was a lot about finding out who I am. Yeah. What do I bring to the table? What are my values? How can I work through my core of fears? You know, it's like just what is my path? There was so much that I was journaling about. And it changed. And I would say it changed around like my 30th birthday for some reason, is where now I journal with a very different intention. Yeah. Like I often journal to write down my intentions, what am I grateful for? I do energy audits, what's currently giving me energy, what's draining my energy. I journal about my prayers. And I remember when I started to be a member in the Journey Home, where in the beginning was very still focused on journaling, and I saw all these women getting into the journaling, I was like, man, I want to be like that again, you know. but it also, you made me realize in one of these campfires that our relationship with journaling can change as we change within, and everything has a certain season. And now, for example, for me, it's like I love to spend time in nature. I love to meditate. I love to do yoga and I love to do tapping. So I feel it's great to have all these, I call them tools in our toolbox, and just depending on our season and what we feel, to then be able to take one or the other or have like new rituals. And it's, I think, so important to allow ourselves to evolve. And when we evolve within, to also let our routines evolve. And I will never forget my personal trainer when I was still competing in golf. She said, you know, Sarah, often when, like, for someone that's very consistent and disciplined, when there comes a point that we feel like it's very hard to stick to our routine, it could actually be that the routine had an expiry date and that it's time to renew. And I think that's something that I really admire about you, because you are renewal in person. You're like always like quick. Every time we catch up, I'm like, don't tell me what happened last week, just tell me what happened yesterday, because it's so quick. And and this actually brings me to my next question. You found the big love of your life, besides your husband and your dogs, but in business, which are the Gene Keys. Can you share in a very simple way, because I know not many people yet know what the Gene Keys are. Like a lot of people know like astrology and human design, but Gene Keys is like still quite new. Mm-hmm. What are like simple ways to explain it? And maybe even what are simple ways for people to get started?
Oh, okay. Yes.
Right. I see how you light up. You're like, finally.
Honestly. There is nothing that I'm more enthusiastic about, other than Bevan, maybe, because I'm so obsessed with my husband as well. But the Gene Keys, I'm absolutely obsessed. So the simplest way to describe what the Gene Keys are is that they are the 64 spectrums of human consciousness. So there's 64 gene keys, and these gene keys are like a psychological map of your DNA. So your DNA has got 64 codons, and we all have all 64 of those codons. And so we have these different gene keys that align with each of these parts of our DNA. And so the gene keys become this journey into the human, into unlocking the magnificence of the human, because our DNA holds so much magnificence in it. You know, what do studies show? That we use like 10% of our DNA, and the rest of it, like the gene keys, is about unlocking the highest potential in your DNA and the highest potential in yourself, unlocking your highest purpose. And so even though there are 64 gene keys, each person has got their own hologenetic profile, where you will have 11 gene keys that are specific to you and your life. And in your gene key profile, you've got all of these different spheres with a gene key. So for example, you have your life's work, which is what you're here to do in the world. You have your radiance, which is your ultimate health and well-being. You have your EQ, which is your emotional intelligence and the patterns of wounding from ages 7 to 14. You've got your pearl, which represents your prosperity. Like, there's all these different parts of who you are, and you have a specific gene key in there, which that codon in your DNA wants to be awakened, so that you can journey through the fullness of what you really came here to do and who you came here to be. And so the reason why I love the gene key so much, Sarah, is because they are your own personal roadmap to your awakening. They are your personal roadmap to your transformation. And something about this inner work journey, and whether you're doing shadow work, like anything that you're doing where you're journeying into yourself, there's so much unknown. And there is, you know, when I was digging into myself for years before the gene keys, it was like, okay, like, let me try and find where I should be digging. And I'll be digging over here into one part of myself, and I'm like, but is this even the thing? Maybe I'll try this. Is this even the thing? Once you have your gene key profile, you know exactly where to look in order to awaken what wants to be awakened in you. And so with each gene key, they have a shadow, a gift, and a city. So for example, Gene Key 23, which is the current pulse, which is Sarah's life's work Gene Key, which we are currently in the energy of today, it's the shadow of complexity, the gift of simplicity, and the city of quintessence. And so because Sarah's shadow for her life's work is complexity, it's going to be a key challenge that comes up in her life. But the Gene Keys show us that there's purpose in the pain of complexity in Sarah's life, because it's the actual place where she has to walk through in order to unlock the gift, which is simplicity, right? Like, it's so beautiful, because sometimes when we're digging into shadows and things, we're like, oh, like, is there any good in this? And the gene key says, hell yeah, there is. And this is exactly the good that's in it. And it invites you into this journey of contemplating these shadows in your life, so that you can go specifically to that part of yourself that you are destined to unlock. And as you do, and as these gifts come more into your life, life just gets better and better and better. And the gene keys are magnificent. There is so much to them, but that's my little like elevator pitch version. And people can be like, okay, I kind of, you know.
I love that. Could we, for people who literally have no idea how that works, I want to maybe say like how it works. I gave you my birth time, my birth date, and also my birthplace, so where I was born. And then like you gave me this really cool looking chart and explained. And could we maybe dive a little bit deeper, just as an example, into Gene Keys 23, how this can be applied? Because I want people to know, it was mind-blowing for me because it is so true. I thrive on simplicity. It's like what I wear, like I rarely ever go wild with colors. I like black, navy, white, cream, ideally all tone in tone. I love when everything in the house is simple, is in order. I don't like when things are too complex or too cluttered. And I also find myself where whenever I overthink things and I get it too, I make it too complicated, I know, oh, okay. I'm asking myself, what's the way I can simplify it? And that's usually when things start flowing again. And whether it's in my personal life or in my professional life. And so maybe we can just as an example for people to understand it even more with some real life examples.
Absolutely. So yeah, the way that you're describing that is exactly the liberation of a gene key. And so your life's work gene key, it's the first gene key in the sequence of 11. And so it's where we begin. And it's that first place to unlock so that then you flow along the golden path. And so for all of us, our life's work gene key, yes, it's what we're here to do in the world, that gift. But the shadow is our inner work. Like it's what we came to transform in our lives, is that first step to then unlock the deeper layers of our purpose. And so for Sarah with gene key 23, the shadow of complexity, the dilemma of complexity is accumulation. And so even though you love things simple, you have a tendency to want to accumulate. And so, you know, this accumulation can be physical things in your environment. I always have a laugh whenever I talk about Gene Key 23, you know, Debbie from The Journey Home.
Yeah.
It's her birthday tomorrow. She's got 23 as well. And we were talking about accumulation, and like in her pantry, she had 9 mayonnaise jars in her pantry. It's like, Debbie, that is accumulating mayonnaise. Like, that is too many mayonnaises.
So that is hilarious.
We accumulate on the outside with things because we think that we'll be safer if we have more things. But then we also accumulate on the inside and we overcomplicate our inner world. And then the thing about complexity as a shadow is we get caught up in the idea that I have complex problems in my life, and so therefore there must be complex answers to solve my complex problems. And so,
complexity,
we actually search for complexity, right? This is where we might have the tendency to go completely overcomplicated with what we're eating in order to feel nourished on the inside. We're like, okay, I need to get all of like the macros and this right and da da da. And we overcomplicate the shit out of what we're eating. We're overwhelmed instead of just returning to simplicity of what's in season, what grows naturally, what feels good in my body. And the thing is you know, like you have that wisdom once you let go of the complexity. And so with the gene keys, once you understand this about yourself, and we did your session like almost 2 years ago now, once you understand this about yourself, each time complexity arises, which it will, it's not like you don't ever want to get rid of these shadows because they're the portal into the gift. They must remain there. They're the seed that grows the tree. And so each time you notice, oh my gosh, Sarah, you're overcomplicating this. It's nothing but your invitation back home. Each time that you overcomplicate something, it's like, oh, I just forgot a little bit about who I truly am. What would it look like to simplify this? You know? And so then you're able to journey in through the lens of complexity. Complexity is always going to be your friend because it's here to just usher you into more and more simplicity. And as you step deeper into that, then you become that beautiful spark of simplicity in the world, which then helps other people to peel it back as well. And that's really the way in which the life's work moves in your life. And then you've got your evolution gene key, which is the next one, is always a programming partner to your life's work. So you have gene key 43 in there, which is the shadow of deafness and the gift of insight and the city of epiphany. And so when you overcomplicate things, you become deaf to your heart. You become deaf to that which matters. And so your evolution gene key is your biggest challenge in this lifetime. And it's always going to be there because it's not here because life's crap. Your evolution shadow is here because it is ushering you into your highest potential. It is ushering you into your highest evolution. And so with this deafness, we get so worried like worry is the big thing about Gene Key 43. And we're worried because we're listening to everything else. We're listening to everything on the outside, the news and what other people think and what other people said. And then we're deaf to our heart. Whereas in the gift of insight, it's when you close the ears off to all of the noise out here. You become deaf to all of the bullshit around you and you start listening here. Mm-hmm. And as you start listening here, boom, those epiphanies drop in and you know exactly the thing to do, exactly the way to go, and it's always going to be the simple path. And so those two go together in your profile, and they become that's this pathway that you will always be entering into in life. It'll be like, oh, I'm worried, oh, I've overcomplicated. And for someone that never does the inner work or the shadow work, you'll remain in that pathway of challenge forever. Mm-hmm. We can become a victim to our pathway of challenge where you would just bounce between worry and complexity for the rest of your days. Whereas once we start to see these patterns in our life and we approach it with a higher attitude where we go, this is happening because life is for me. This is happening because this is my portal into my highest evolution. And we start to show up with a different attitude within our challenges. We start to experience breakthrough. We start to be like, whoa, like this is who I truly am. And then we head off on this beautiful journey through our Gene Key profile, unlocking deeper and deeper and deeper parts of ourselves. And so it is a magnificent, magnificent journey to take.
I love how you explain all of this. And I also remember when we had, I think we had two Gene Key sessions, but I remember during the first one, I was like, wow, this explains so much. Because for example, whenever I felt overwhelmed and disconnected from myself, what I would then do as a reset was simplify everything, whether what I eat, what my morning routine was, what I wear, like everything. And I was like, wow, this makes so much sense. Like I'm doing this because I'm driving more towards my gift, which is simplicity. And also over the time, what you reminded me a lot of as well is when I got to word, you're like, take a breath and look within. Like you need to noise cancel, Sarah. And that's why you get so worried. And it is so true. Is like whenever I take enough time to pray and to meditate and to just be very in touch with my own gut feeling, which doesn't mean that we never listen to others. But I think we have to be very in touch with what we feel on the inside in order then to differentiate what to do and what's best for us. And so, yeah, I think it's so interesting. And I think everyone should know their Gene Keys. Like, and could you maybe share also, how can the Gene Keys help people in thriving in the areas of love and health and business? Because I feel like these are the three things like everyone wants
absolutely to have. Yeah, like your Gene Keys become this language of life. They're all about gifting you with the language to move through the things that are happening in your life. And so even though Sarah already knew that simplicity worked for her, the Gene Keys still gave her more depth of purpose in this language mm-hmm. around complexity, deafness, insight, simplicity. And it's like firmly planting your feet on the ground. And then you're able to utilize this language to manifest who you truly are. You know, because sometimes we know, and this is the thing, every single person I ever do a Gene Key session for, they're just like, I don't know if I'm allowed to swear on your podcast. I'm such a swearer. How the hell do you know this about me? Like everyone's just like, oh, this couldn't be more me. But yes, they knew that was them, but they may not have had the language to be able to fully describe that that's what it was. And so like how you're talking through that simplicity that really helps you. Yes, that will help all of us. Like, of course, simplifying things will help all of us. But for you, it has a whole new level of impact. Just like for me, my life's work, my shadow is dislocation, which is to feel lost. And so for me, I don't have to simplify anything in my life to feel better. I just have to ask myself, Haley, how's life inviting you to trust right now? Mm-hmm. How are you actually not lost at all? How is there no such thing as a mistake? How are you exactly where you're meant to be right now? They're my entry points. I didn't know that. You know, I'd found certain things that supported me in that, and I was sort of skimming around the edges of it. And then my evolution is entropy, which is loss of energy in a system. I mean, I have chronic fatigue, so I know what it feels like to lose energy in a system. And this gene key gave me the language to actually navigate that. Like I was in a deep, dark tunnel and I couldn't see where I was going, and I'm up against the walls and suddenly I've got a torch. And mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, I can see now and here. I understand where I'm at, why I'm here, and how this can help me navigate it. And so in terms of business, health, life, I mean, there is nothing more powerful than having your gene key profile to help you navigate all of these areas of life. So as you navigate, say, health, you've got your radiance gene key in your profile. It's one of your core gifts, and that represents your health and your well-being. It represents the quality of your aura. It represents this you thriving. And so you have this entry point into seeing the key thing that undermines that in your life. And Sarah and I have the same one. We're a 49, reaction, revolution, rebirth. And so for us, reaction, yes, being reactive impacts us all, but for Sarah and I, it impacts our health and our well-being. Mm-hmm. And so we have this direct portal into seeing more health and well-being awakened in our world. In terms of love and relationships, you have an entire sequence. All of the red gene keys, there's six of them, are called your Venus sequence, and it's all about love and relationships. It's all about utilizing your closest relationships as the mirrors into the deepest parts of yourself, where you heal childhood wounding patterns so you can open your heart more to love and to life. It is a magnificent journey. And then in terms of business, you've got your blue keys, which are your prosperity sequence, and you have your vocation, which is literally, this is your medicine you're here to bring the world. Like, this is what you are here to do. For Sarah, it's to inspire. She has inspiration in her gene key there. And I've got vitality. So we're here to inspire and bring energy and bliss and And then you have your culture gene key, which is how you best work in the world, the best way that you can create and magnetize your fractal soul family who are here to help you bring your mission into the world. Your soul clients, right? You've got your brand. This is how you are to present yourself in the world so that you can unlock the flow of prosperity. Like, it's all here in your gene key profile. But my favorite part that supports me personally, Sarah, in love, relationships, business, health, is the activation sequence, which are your four green gene keys around the outside. This is the first place that you enter into when you go into the gene keys. And these are the four pillars of who you are. This is where you fully remember your magnificence. You remember who you are. And I, you know, how there's four of them, I describe it like, if you were a table, these are your four legs.
I love that.
If one of those legs is wonky, you're going to be a bit off kilter. And so whenever I feel off kilter, and this is life, right? This isn't about like, mm-hmm. Oh, every now and then a challenge pops up. No, every single day as a human, you face challenge. Every day, from the moment you get out of bed to the moment that you go to sleep, you are always facing some sort of challenge, whether it be that you're feeling a little bit tired, or there's something niggling in the background in your business, or you're feeling a bit of pressure, or you're worried about a conversation coming up, or you're having a breakdown in a relationship. There's always something going on. And your gene keys are this place where you can always come every day to help unlock more magnificence, more groundedness, more self-love, more of who you truly are, so that you can then be in your ultimate service through every moment of every day. Not that you have to look at every moment as a moment of growth, but you can. There is not a single situation in your life that can't unlock more of your purpose if you allow it to and if you're open to it. And so these gene keys in your profile become your specific doorways into that, so that you're not just in this like, well, maybe it's this or maybe it's that. It's like, no, it's this. And I can really sit with the language of that, speak it into being, and contemplate that to see my life unfolding and unlocking. And what then you experience as you start to really
embody these gene keys is not a single circumstance in your life has to change, and your experience of it is radically different. Radically different.
Wow. The metaphor of the desk is table is so good. It is, because it is just our, I call it North Star, to know, okay, what are our patterns? What are our tendencies for both? What are the tendencies of things that we are doing, or what is driving us away from home, and what is us bringing us back? And one of the things that I personally really love to do, and I think that's also part of, you know, like being in tune with the tinkies, is once a week having an energy audit where, like, I take a piece of paper, divide it in the middle, and everything on the left, I write down what is currently giving me energy. And then I also write down everything, what is currently, or who is currently draining my energy. And it's so great, because we see, if we do this regularly, we see all these patterns. Absolutely. And it's the same with the, it's the same with the table, as you said. It's about remembering, oh, okay, now I've done this 8 weeks, I pretty much can say these are the things that really drain my energy. These are the things that really give me my energy. And it's just so good that we all have this roadmap, where we, that keeps us on our path.
Absolutely. And imagine if you took that activity of the energy audit and then you broke it down into your four gene keys around the outside. And then it was like, well, what am I overcomplicating that's draining my energy? Where am I deaf that's draining my energy? Where am I in reaction at the moment? And where is intolerance moving in my life?
Ooh.
Imagine the specific, and I do this a lot.
Like, I love that.
Where's that playing out? And you can even refine that energy audit even deeper. And then it becomes, okay, well, what would it look like to simplify right now? What would it look like to be in my heart and have insight? What would revolution look like in this moment? And what would understanding look like? And you've just taken that activity and put it on freaking steroids and made it so specific to your DNA.
Oh my God.
You'll see things and be like, you know, it just takes things to the next level.
Guess who is doing what after this interview? I love it. This
my
is
journals
so
are
good.
Full of that. You know, all the time I'm like, okay, like where's dislocation? Even when I'm not feeling off kilter, I'll still ask myself, is there any dislocation around? Because there's always more. And this is why we face challenge, not because life is shit, but because there's always more. There's always more love. There's always more love to access. There's always more of your magic to access. And therefore, there will always be a new challenge, because it's nothing but an invitation for you to step deeper into your highest purpose and your evolution.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I am a big believer that as long as we're here, we are a masterpiece in progress. And there's always something more to get to know about ourselves, to unlock, to let go, to invite, you know, another challenge to overcome. And I think the more we fall in love with that fact, which you really do, I think really, like, the more we fall in love with the fact that life is a series of challenges, and that we are forever till we drop a masterpiece in progress, I think that makes life so much easier. I remember when I was like in my early 20s, I was thinking, when am I done with this pattern? When am I done with this? When am I done with that? You know, and I was like running, 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 trying to get to a point where I then noticed this point never arrives. It never arrives. And when we come to the understanding deep inside our heart, and then we befriend it at least, I think life gets much easier, because we are not chasing butterflies that are not there. Like, we are actually not, okay, that's part of life.
In life.
Yeah.
That's like your analogy of running away from home. Like, the analogy that comes for me is, if your life were a river, so your destined path is a river. When we're trying to get rid of these things, it's like swimming upstream.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Guess what that is? Freaking exhausting. Mm-hmm.
And so to come into acceptance with these things is to turn around, lay on your back and float down that river. Yes, you're going to go through the rapids and you're going to go through the twists and the turns, but you're not going to be exhausted from trying to swim upstream. And yes, some of our patterns, like I'm not saying that our addictive pattern cycles that we can never be rid of them. Absolutely not. Like the gene keys have helped me to free myself from so many patterns that were not serving me. But the challenge, like the archetypal challenge, will still keep coming up, but in different ways. And so if you saw the gift, so like your gift of simplicity, it's one side of a coin. The other side of the coin is complexity. And so if you're thinking, okay, I need to get rid of complexity, and you throw complexity in the bin, your simplicity just got thrown away with it. And then the coin's back anyway. You can't get rid of the coin. And so it's like, yeah, the biggest challenge in life is to embrace our challenge, right? But once we do start to embrace those challenges and we start to trust in the things that come our way, that is the only time when we can then actually walk through that door of the shadow to access the gift, because you must first, that's the shift in attitude. You must first shift in frequency. And this is what the gene keys are, they're the frequency bands. So complexity and simplicity are the exact same thing on two different frequency bands.
Mm-hmm.
So you can show up with a low frequency in your attitude. So at a quantum level, your attitude is the only environment that exists. And so if you show up with a poor attitude, boom, you'll be in complexity. Same scenario, everything's the same, but you just show up in a higher frequency with a bit more of an open heart, boom, you're in simplicity. It's the same thing, right? It's the same thing. And it's fascinating. Bloody fascinating, mate.
The analogy of the coin is mind-blowing. It's so good. And I love how you explain, you know, it's the same, but just on a different frequency. Yeah. And it's, you know, it's an attitude, whether I like show up like this or show up like that. And it's so good. It's so, so good. I'll definitely put everything in the show notes so people later can like dive deeper into all of it.
Oh yeah, baby. Mm-hmm.
As you know, all our listeners are big animal lovers. Yes. So I am wondering, how can we use the gene keys to deepen the bond with our animals?
Oh, I mean, there is so many different things. However, I'm going to speak to two of them. I was like, oh my gosh, how am I going to choose? So first off, let's talk about, let's look at just through the gene keys, and then I'm going to bring in the entire animal part of this. Like there is an entire part of the gene keys that is just animals. So I mean, you're in for a bloody treat.
I'm so excited. First off,
I think, you know, and this depends on what kind of person you are. You might be like, oh, Hayley, that's bullshit. Or you might be a little bit more like, you know what, that just sounds fun. You can look up your dog's gene key profile. I've done this, and I've looked up Felix's profile ahead of time to have a little look at Sarah's profile.
So excited.
Because you can have a, you know, whether you think that dogs have gene key profiles or not, doesn't matter. You could look at their profile and be like, what are they here to teach me? Just by looking at what like their, what energy they came into the world in. Because everyone's life's work gene key is based upon where the sun is moving through right now. And so Felix was born when the gene key was gene key 5. And so the gene key 5 is impatience, patience, timelessness. So instantly we can see that Felix may have came to help teach you patience. And I mean, what a perfect gene key for a dog to have. Your dog was born on the same day as my mum. So she also, like, and I see that in her life.
That's for another episode.
That's for another episode. But so for Felix, there may be things that come up with that around patience and impatience. And then his evolution is hunger and adventure. And so he can be here to show you, to be a mirror to you of some of these things. Like that can definitely be one avenue that you can go down if that interests people. But then the main way that I work with animals and the gene keys is there is an entire transmission that falls underneath the gene keys umbrella called the dream arc. And the dream arc is where they've taken the gene keys, gotten rid of all of the numbers and all of the fancy words, and replaced it all with animals that bring you guidance. And so there's 64 gene keys with 64 shadows, 64 gifts, 64 cities. So the dream arc has got 192 animals. And each of those animals has a specific guidance that it's here to bring you and support you with. And so this goes beyond dogs. Obviously, dogs are in there, and I'm going to share a little bit about what the dog means. But all, like, obviously not every animal, there's 192, but all your key animals are in there. And so no matter what kind of pet you have or what animal you love, like if whatever your favorite animal is, there'll be a message in that for you in the dream arc. Whatever animal you're most afraid of, there'll be a message for that in the dream arc.
Ooh.
It's really interesting. So all of the shadows are represented by underworld creatures. So you've got things like fish, insects, creepy crawlies, reptiles are in the shadows. Then the gifts are represented by the mammal kingdom. So you've got, you know, you've got your giraffes and your lions and all of that. And then the cities are represented by birds. So they're the vision keys. They're like the that float through the air. And so it's really interesting whenever you work with an animal in the dream arc, which you can work with, it's not necessarily through your gene key profile. When you actually do the dream arc, you don't even use your gene key profile. It's all intuition led. Well, you might even dream of an animal and you work with them. Like I had a dream about an eel and I've been working with the eel for over 6 months. I work with the turtle. You'll see I have it around my neck. And so you come to work with animals in this way or in your life, you know, like I was sitting here the other day and this kookaburra just kept coming and landing outside and it just kept being there. I'm like, oh, I've got to go look it up. So I go to the dream arc and I look up and the kookaburra has this beautiful guidance. And so in terms of having a pet or just being an animal lover, the dream arc is this beautiful way that you can enter into to see what messages these animals have for us and how they want to unlock something inside of us. So yes, it's connected to the gene key, but it's written in this completely different way where you're working with the animals. So would you like me to read a little bit of the dog?
Oh my God, I would love that.
Okay. Just so you can get a little taste of what it's like to work with the dream arc. There's three paragraphs. I'll read the first two. So the dog in the dream arc represents gene key 37, which is the gift of equality. And so that gene key is the shadow of weakness, gift of equality, and the city of tenderness. And so if someone ever goes to work with the dog in the dream arc, this is the guidance that it gives. It says, we are dog. We encircle you, humanity. We are your sacred protectors, coming in a myriad of forms. Our intelligence has entered more deeply into your lives, perhaps than any other mammal. We are also a sacrificial animal, for we hold a great deal of your ancestral pain in our hearts. It is because of this that we serve you so loyally. We are a reminder of the power of family, and alongside family, forgiveness. We entrust you, therefore, with a sacred task now. Go out into your family and find the outcast members. This may even be you. In the great family, there are no outcasts, only misunderstandings. Your sacred task is to address the wound within your own family. Perhaps you find this wound to be beyond repair. All wounds can be healed in time. You may need to try a new approach. How would deep forgiveness approach this situation, this relationship? If you do not know where to begin, look again more deeply. Use the power of your intuition. Let the dog inside you sniff out the pain. Then take great courage and move towards the pain. You need not fear the pain of another. Open your heart and let it speak the words that must be spoken, words of healing. It's a little snippet.
Wow.
What our dogs.
It's so beautiful. Haley, for people who want to dive more into the dream arc and maybe also read up on animals they love or afraid of, is there a book you can recommend or is it online or how would that work?
At the moment, at the moment it is still just the online. It's a course that you can purchase, but it's not a course where you go through in order. It's like a, remember those books from childhood where it's like pick your adventure and it's like,
yeah,
it's like that.
Okay.
within the course, you get the whole animal codex and you can type in animals and it brings up their guidance and it brings up their meaning and there's videos.
Amazing.
It's beautiful. But they've done an oracle deck mm-hmm. with 192 cards accompanied by a book with all of the guidance, and that's coming out later this year.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
It's going to be incredible. And also I have a podcast episode where I specifically go really deep into mm-hmm. the dream arc and explain it all. So if anyone's interested, if I've piqued anyone's interest, I would definitely recommend going
Great.
And checking
out. I'll put all of that in the show notes. That's perfect. Oh, I love that. And you know, it's so true what you said about Felix with patience and impatience.
Yeah.
So I don't have much impatience that he triggers in me on a day-to-day basis, like, you know, how some people might have. For me, it's more what he is showing me because, and I think I shared that in another episode, the week before we got Felix, we were looking at another dog at the shelter. And I really felt, oh my God, I gotta drive there. This might be our dog. And I was there and it was ended up not being our dog. And on that day, I was very sad because I was like, why is that? I really felt it. But then when I was in the shower, I was like, okay, I think life just guided me at least to the rescue shelter where we will get our dog. And then a week later, we had Felix. And this really reminded me that things are always on their way, but we just, you know, they just arrive sometimes a little later and not always on our timeline. So I would actually even not call it patience. I would call it trust and faith. Really what he is reminding me of. And every time when I see him, I'm like, yeah, he is the testament with some fur. How much I can get rewarded when I trust life and go with its timing.
Yeah. And you're safe to wait. And like, that's what you had to do. You had to wait that extra time for Felix, knowing that that wasn't quite right. Because impatience would have just been like, oh no, but I want it now. So I'll get that one.
Oh, absolutely.
But it wasn't quite the right one. And so like moving from impatience to patience, it's really interesting because a lot of people think that they're patient. But people often, when we think we're patient, we're actually just waiting impatiently. And so simply waiting for something doesn't make you patient.
True.
It's about the frequency and the energy in which you wait.
Oh,
are you waiting patiently or are you waiting impatiently? And that's the best question to ask in terms of Gene Key 5 is how am I waiting? Mm-hmm. How am I behaving while I'm waiting? Because that is a measure of your amount of trust in life and in cosmic timing and in the unfolding of everything. Like, and when you truly wait patiently, you enter into timelessness. You enter into this place where like, oh, you're free. You're not, you know, in impatience, we either think that time's going too fast or too slow. You know, when we're like, hurry up, or we're like, oh no, it's all moving too fast. So patience is this beautiful acceptance of life as it is.
It's so good. And I'm pretty sure this will be one of the highlights we'll be sharing on Instagram because it is so true. When we wait with positive expectancy and positive expectation, life changes completely. Life changes completely. And I like to compare it a little bit like with ordering something on Amazon. You order it and you expect it to arrive. Might be coming a little earlier, might be coming a little later, but you're not like, I hope at least, not constantly checking, when is it coming? When is it coming? Did I make the right order? Like, did I choose the right, you know? It's like you have your account, you order something, and then sometimes it might even be out of your mind, like out of sight, out of mind, because you're like, oh, what is that? What did I order? And I think if we can have this Amazon attitude a little bit more in life, things get so much easier because we expect miracles. We expect things to fall into place and we expect things to be on their way.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I mean, you can look at the Amazon analogy through that lens and then there's also, I use an Amazon analogy of it, of the shadow, where I'm like, we live in a world now of I click a button and something arrives at my doorstep tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And so we've also, like, the other side of that is, like, we've come to the expectation is that I click it and it's done. And, mm-hmm. and we've forgotten how to wait longer. Like, we live in this world where if you want to know a piece of information, you can pick up your phone and know it now. And that has had a huge impact on our ability to how we see the unfolding of timelines for other things, where we're looking to hack our way through life and we're mm-hmm. looking to hack our way to healing. And that is a massive thing that I see in the world. And even one of my clients, she, like, you know, they get there on their own with their epiphanies. And she said the other day, she goes, oh my gosh, Hayley, I've just realized I can't hustle my healing. And I'm like, no, you can't. Like, no, yes, you're correct. And yeah. So that's got a lot to do with this Gene Key 5 as well, is these unrealistic timelines mm-hmm. that we put on things where we're like, okay, I'm going to do the inner work. And or someone that might go like, all right, I'm going to do the Gene Keys. And they spend 5 fucking seconds. Sorry, I'm swearing again. They spend 5 freaking seconds looking at their profile and they go, oh my God, like, oh, the Gene Keys have changed my life. No, they haven't.
Mm-hmm.
No, they haven't. Because for true transformation and change to take place, you have to be in it for the long haul. You have to mm-hmm. sit with this stuff and contemplate it. We're in a world where people will read a book, a personal development book, close it, and start the next one, and close it and start the next one. And we've forgotten to integrate. We've forgotten to create space. We've forgotten to pause between things. We've forgotten how to sit with things just for a second so that they can actually work within us. And so, you know, I love that this Gene Key 5's come up through Felix. I mean, thank you, Felix. We were meant to talk about it. Because patience is actually, it's the cauldron of transformation. It's where love grows. Without patience, you can't, like, anything worth having needs to be growing in the field of patience. And so it's a beautiful question to ask ourselves, like, where am I expecting it to be too fast? And where can I instead, like your beautiful analogy, Sahara, where can I just sit in beautiful anticipation, knowing that thing good's coming, but how am I waiting while I'm waiting for that? And what's my attitude and what's my reaction or response when it doesn't work out in the timing that I hoped? What am I like then? And these are all these beautiful invitations, you know. What are you like when you ordered something on Amazon and it said it was going to arrive tomorrow and it doesn't? You know, how do you behave when that mm-hmm. happens? Because that's an entry point into your life. Yeah, just starting to see through all of this stuff and what parts of my life am I expecting to move at the speed of Amazon? Then I'm never going to move at the speed of Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where do I need to give myself more spaciousness, more graciousness, so that my life can actually unfold instead of expecting to hack my way towards everything? Like, that is my current pet peeve about mm-hmm. Instagram. Is like all of these business hacks and personal growth hacks and like, all these, like, trying to hack our way to health. Just put in the bloody groundwork.
Mm-hmm.
Do work. Show up. Be willing to lay the foundations of self-love, because you can hack your way to something and it's going to crumble the moment that a storm comes through, and then you're going to be hacking your way again. So, like, the Gene Keys is this invitation into approaching life in a completely different way, so that you can actually drink the juice of life instead of mm-hmm. the hack, like, bonus, like, I don't know, fake version.
I love how you say the hacking, because I definitely see a lot of people wanting to have shortcuts. Mm-hmm. Shortcuts in their personal life, in their professional life, building their company, having their podcast. Mm-hmm. Having kids, having a dog, anything it is. And I had a great conversation with Lindsay Jacobelli. She's an Olympic gold medalist. And she said so many people, you know, just think it takes, like, she said, what upsets her a little bit is like a lot of people, you know, they think it's always motivation. It's just like, yeah, you know, easy. That's what you see on Instagram. But the truth is she has been working on this for decades.
Yes.
And it's just, I think one of the big questions in life is not like, how can you hack yourself to there and there, or, and also how can you do the shortcut? But the question is, what do you love so much that you are willing to walk every step of the way plus the extra mile?
Yeah, absolutely. Because you always get what you pay for. Mm-hmm. And this is Jane Key 54. It's the shadow of greed and the gift of aspiration. And it's in the shadow of greed, we think that we can get a bargain but have the high quality. And mm-hmm. it's like, there's no such thing. Like, you will always get what you pay for. And so it's that, am I willing? Like, this whole idea of an overnight success, it doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, like this beautiful Olympian woman who has dedicated and devoted her life and sacrificed so much as an Olympian.
Absolutely.
Like, Olympians sacrifice their childhoods mm-hmm. in order to hone their skills, you know, and for us to think that, you know, that it's luck, you know, luck is generated via commitment. And that's Jinky.
Absolutely.
Commitment only people creates mm-hmm. the frequency of luck. You can't be half in, half out and expect to be lucky and expect to have it all work out, you know. And these, as I say it, it comes across as like harsh truths, but they're actually not. They're the gentlest of truths, because love lives there. Like mm-hmm. the depths of unconditional love lives there. And it's not just about you have to do these things and like, you know, you got to go take the journey. It's about who you become on the journey. Mm-hmm. You know, it's about it's not about the commitment. It's about who you become by being committed. It's not about the patience. It's about who you come by being patient. It's about who you become by being willing to look into simplicity. Like, this is what it's all about. And there's never, ever, ever in any scenario of life where there is going to be a hack or a fast track for that. Mm-hmm. The only fast track that exists is actually the patient path. Because
it's true. Haley, I'm so blown away with everything you shared in this episode. Like, just like, also, you know, like how we met, how your journey unfolded, and then also, you know, like how you turned your pain into purpose. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's so beautiful to see how much you are in love with what you're doing and with who you are and with your life, because I think a lot of people think it doesn't really exist. You know, like people just think it's normal that you don't have like a big fire for what you're doing. But I do think it's so beautiful for people to see you can be in love with what you do, with who you are with who you are. But it takes work. It takes inner work. It takes commitment. It takes patience. It takes trust and so many more things. And one of the gifts in your life are also your dogs. And I would love to wrap up the episode with a little Q&A. Hunter and Steven, can you tell me what is one of the reasons, one of the many reasons, but one of the reasons you're grateful for them?
Oh my gosh. I love my boys so much. They're 10, so they've been in my life quite a while. They just arrived on the plane from New Zealand a day and a half ago. So I hadn't seen my babies for 8 weeks and now they're back with me. It's absolutely amazing. But I'm so grateful that they've been there through my whole hard time. They always got me up. They got me up. They got me out of bed. I have two Kelpie border collies. They need exercise, and it is through them that I fell in love with nature, and I returned home to nature, because I never spent much time outside. I always thought I was an indoor person. I was a real indoor girl. I was afraid. I was afraid of going out. I mean, I do live in Australia. There are a lot of things that can kill you. But my boys got me out there into nature. Yeah, I'm so grateful for that.
So beautiful how you described that. It's, yeah, they do always reconnect us with what is so good for us.
Yeah. Even just going out for a walk sometimes, like there'll be Hunter, my older one, he will sit there and he will stare you out like this. And if I'm having a lower day, which I still do, that's very human, where we have lower days. And sometimes I'm just like, ugh, I feel like a potato that doesn't want to move. And then he comes in and he just cuts through that and he goes, excuse me, it's time for us to go out for a walk. And I get out there for that walk. And I always, it's this entry point back into remembering, because as soon as I'm up and I'm walking, I'm like, okay, then I have this spaciousness to kind of sift through. Okay, how am I feeling? What's going on, Hayley? You know, I have these internal conversations. I contemplate while I walk my dogs, and they create that space for me. Of course, that space was always there, but they kind of come in and they're like, come on, you haven't been up yet. Let's go. You know, and I love that. I appreciate that so deeply.
Dogs are just like any kind of animals. It's so beautiful how they always bring us back home.
Yeah.
You know, like how they always, when we are distracted, bring us our attention back, how they mirror.
Unconditional love, right?
It's just so, so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And what would be one of the questions you would like to ask them?
I'd probably ask them something stupid. I would ask them, is there anything else that I could do for you that would allow you to enjoy your life to a deeper degree?
Oh.
You know, is there something that you're wanting that maybe I haven't realized that you need? Tell me. Let me accommodate your life for you so that it's a perfect fit for who you are.
They probably would answer, we haven't met Auntie Sarah yet.
Yeah. Where is that bitch? You know, where is she? Bring her over here.
Oh my God, so funny. And what is one of the things that they are doing that is embarrassing, but they always feel that no one sees it or knows about it?
Well, Stephen has a fear of his own farts. It is hilarious. And he has quite the tooty bottom. And so, like, he'll do a fart and then he'll, like, run. And then he'll go and he'll hide. He's so ashamed. And whenever, if we ever go, and if he's done a silent one and it smells, if ever we go, poor Steve, his ears go back and he comes and he hides under the table. So he's got fart embarrassment. I mean, we're like, it's okay, mate. It's natural. So that's definitely Steve. And then Hunter's embarrassing thing is that he has a really intense fear of electric fences because he had some traumatic experiences. Mm-hmm. We used to live on a bull farm, and I mean, I even accidentally touched it once. Like, this is for full big bulls. It is intense. But now he is so afraid of any kind of little static shock. So, like, if I'm a bit static and I touch him, he's so afraid and he goes and he hides. And so he thinks that he's perfect, but he's not. He's flawed. Life too gets him. Hunter's our princess. He's like, what do you mean? I'm perfect. Everything's perfect. He's more human than dog.
My favorite part, afraid of his own farts.
He thinks there's a demon coming out of his asshole. Like, he honestly thinks, I think because he's so scared of pooing inside that he thinks that he's just taken a poop, and then he's like, I couldn't, you know, Steve does not like to break the rules. And if even another dog's breaking the rules, if you say no to another dog, Steve's like, he'll come and he's like, please tell me you forgive me. I'm like, Steve, you didn't do anything wrong. They're so classic. They're the best dogs ever. I love them.
Oh my God. This is hilarious. Hayley, thank you so much for sharing things that like made us laugh, things that moved us, that inspired us. And, you know, like you always lift me up. And I'm just so grateful that I get to share this with the Purple Stars family. And I'm definitely going to link everything in the show notes where people can find you, where they can book you to, and also listen to your podcast, because I'm sure many want to follow up. And just thank you so much for your time and sharing your amazing energy with us.
Oh, thank you so much, my beautiful friend. What an honor to be on. And yeah, if you're listening to this, please slide into my DMs. I reply to every single freaking thing, including random voice notes from random Austrian women who slide into my DMs. So like, please come and let me know that you listened to the episode. If anyone has any Gene Keys questions, come and ask. Like, it's my favorite thing to talk about. So yeah, if you're interested, just come ask your questions and I'd love to chat with you.
Aww. Thanks, everyone. It's a wrap for today. As you can hear, my voice is now getting less and less, so it's a good time to wrap up. Thank you for tuning in. And if you loved this episode, please share it with your family, with your friends, with your neighbors, anyone who could benefit of the amazing insights of Haley. And don't forget to tag us and also Haley and slide into our DMs and let us know how you liked it. And we see you next Wednesday.